Sally to help start the puja, huh? Where is she? Oh, okay. Wait for a while, huh? Okay. The other thing is, there are some notes, short notes. If you need them, they are over there, huh? You can collect them. Then anybody without the Heart Sutta book, if you don't have the Heart Sutta book, I think Sister Lee has printed extra copy there. Huh? You can either, I don't know, it's for sales or for free distribution, you have to check. Huh? There are a few more copies. You can borrow first, then you check with Sister Lee. Okay? Okay. 你会那个心经你会背吗 ？Okay, we have our sister here. You can use the mic. We will start. Pay respect mindfully. To Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the other worthy ones. Then we will start. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will start the Theravada Puja. We recall to mind the great virtue of Lord Buddha Sakyamuni and all the virtue of great Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the enlightened one. Okay, then we chant the salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami suramiraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones. Just relax yourself. Huh? Good afternoon to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Okay, today we will continue from where we stop. Huh? Today is the sixth lesson. Huh? The sixth lesson of this Heart Sutta Calm Meditation class at Wu Ping Jing Se. Huh? Okay, those who don't have the notes, you can collect it from Sister Lee. Huh? Those who already have, huh? We can continue. Okay. You see, we base our this Heart Sutta class on Master Swen Hua's the Heart Sutta or the Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta with commentary by Venerable Master Swen Hua. If you don't have this book, you can request from Sister Lee. Yeah? They got a few spare copy. You check with her whether it's for sales or for free distribution. Huh? Okay. You look at the short notes that Sister Lee has so kindly helped us to print it out and get it photostated using our Kayanamita funds. So it's available to all for free. Okay. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the Heart Sutta discussed. I will just read to you quickly what we have gone through the last session. And the second part is introducing the late Venerable Master Xu Yun. This one is based on the details I got from the internet. I have actually check through. This is the best version so far. Then I have actually edited a little bit. So we will go through. In 1948, after 3,000 miles of travel, Master Swen Hua reached Nanhua Monastery near Canton and received the wonderful mind-to-mind transmission of the Buddhas from Venerable Master Xu Yun. Xu Yun Lao He Sang is a very famous monk. So, like I said, he is also the master of your master Po Yen Zhang Lao of Wu Ping Jing Se. And Master Swen Hua, after that transmission, became the 45th patriarch in the line of succession from Sakyamuni Buddha. Means the mind to mind seal of the Buddha was transmitted down from the Buddha Sakyamuni to the next disciple, then the next disciple to the next patriarch and all those things. The first one that Sakyamuni passed on to is Mahakasapa, because he is the most senior and the Buddha has actually decided to pass it on to him. So Mahakasapa is also very famous. There are a lot of stories about him. He is also famous for very austerity type of practice, Dutanga practice. It originated from him. He has this very, very powerful and strange vow. He vowed not to wear the new robe. He vowed to wear only those robe that is made from the dead corpse. People throw away one. He go and collect all those clothings or cloth. Then he sold them together. He even offered the new robe that was offered to him to Buddha Sakyamuni, according to one of the Jataka stories. So indeed he is a very unique monk. Then when he went for Pindapat, you know what is Pindapat? Topo. When you go for alms round, they call, allow the lay people to have condition to offer alms to the cultivators, to the monks. So this is the tradition that Buddha Sakyamuni set up. He got a very strange character. He liked to go to the poor people's village and let them have better chance to perform this almsgiving. He doesn't like to go to the rich people. So this is one thing that is very peculiar. Okay, for those who just came in, there are some notes you can collect from here. Or Sister Lee, you check with Sister Lee. They still got. Okay, we just started. We are at the first paragraph. So you feel free to join us. Okay, that is the small part about Master, Mahakasapa. Then there is also one very interesting commentary which I saw on the Astro. It's from China, this program, very good, about all the Mahayana Buddhism and tradition. You heard of this place, Ji Zhu San. It's a very famous mountain. It seems this mountain has a lot of this, what they call, story concerning Mahakasapa. You go to the internet, you go and read it out. Very famous. And it seems Xu Yin Lao He Sang, the teacher of Master Xuan Hua and Po Yan, he went there 3 times, Ji Zhu San, because he saw the Dhamma has deteriorated. And he made the very strong vow to transmit the right Dhamma. So he went there 3 times with that mission. And because of him, the cultivation, the tradition came back. Last time, as the year passed by, the cultivation has actually deteriorated, according to Xu Yin Lao He Sang. You go and read, you will know. I don't know whether I have put in here or not, but you can find out from the internet. Okay, I read on so that we don't waste so much time. Master Xu Yin is also the teacher of Master Po Yan of Wu Ping Jing Se, which is your master. Introducing the late Venerable Master Xu Yin, he is the 44th patriarch from the line of succession of Sakyamuni Buddha. Xu Yin was born on the 26th April 1840 in Fujian, China, and passed away at the age of 120 in the year 1959. He is one of the most influential Zen masters of the past 2 centuries, and arguably the most important in modern Chinese history. Unlike Catholicism or other branch of Christianity, there was no organization in China that embraced all the monastic in China, nor even all the monastic within the same sect. Traditionally, each monastery was autonomous, with authority resting on each respective abbot. This changed with the rules of the Communist Party. In 1953, the Buddhist Association of China was established at a meeting with 121 delegates in Beijing. The meeting also elected a chairman, 4 honorary chairmen, 7 vice chairmen, a secretary general, 3 deputy secretary general, 18 members of the standing committee, and 93 directors. The 4 elected honorable or honorary chairmen were the Dalai Lama, the Panchen Lama, the Great Lama of Inner Mongolia, and Xu Yin himself. Xu Yin represents mainland China. Huh? That's why he is very famous. Though Zen is less well known in the West compared to Japanese Zen, the teaching of Xu Yin has persisted within Asia, and he is still a major figure of Pure Land Buddhism in East Asia. Outside of China, the influence of his teaching is strongest in Southeast Asia, particularly in Vietnam and Myanmar, as well as the Americans or Americas, where his teaching was transmitted through well-known monastic students such as Venerable Master Xuan Hua and Venerable, I don't know how to pronounce this word, eh? Maybe I just pronounce it as Jading Shakya. Shakya, and Venerable Fo Yuan. Then there is this story behind, during the Middle Age and Enlightenment, how he became enlightened. At the age of 43, Xu Yin had by now left the home line for more than 20 years, but he had not yet completed his cultivation in the path. He had not repaid his parents' kindness, so he vowed to again make a pilgrimage to Nanhai, from Fa Hua Temple all the way to Qingliang Peak at Mount Wutai, or the Five Peak Mountain, Wutai San, of the Northwest. The Bodhi Mandala of Manjushri, you know who is Manjushri, Ven Suposa, she is foremost in wisdom, the chief disciple of Amitabha Buddha, Amitabha. He made one full prostration every 3 steps. He prayed for the rebirth of his parent in the Pure Land. Along the way, Xu Yin is said to have met a beggar called Ben Zi, who twice saved his life. After talking with the monks at Five Peak Mountain or Wutai San, Xu Yin came to believe that the beggar had been a manifestation of Manjushri. Having achieved single-mindedness of mind, Xu Yin traveled west and south and made his way through Tibet. He visited many monasteries and holy places, including the Potala, the seat of the Dalai Lama, the Tashihupo Monastery, the seat of Panchen Lama. He traveled through India and Ceylon and then crossed the sea to Burma. During his time of wandering, Xu Yin felt his mind clearing and his health growing stronger. So you see, when you are on a pilgrimage trip, if you are very sincere, your faith is very strong, you will have this experience. That was what happened to me 20 years ago, when I was traveling on my spiritual trip and journey. My mind transform very fast because the faith, the virya, the sadha, sati, mindfulness are very strong. So like Xu Yin, he felt the same. His mind clearing and his health growing stronger. You can know it. You become more and more strong spiritually. Of course, physically also it helps. Xu Yin composed a large number of poems during this period. So if you have time, go to the internet, read his poem. They are beautiful. I included one here after he became enlightened. This poem is very good. After returning to China during Xu Yin's 53rd year, he joined the other Venerable Master Pu Zhou, Yuan Xia, and Ying Lian, the Lotus Seal, to cultivate together. They climbed Chihua San, Chihua Mountain, and repair the heights of Chui Feng Summit. where Dhamma Master Puto expounded the Maha Vaipuya Buddha Avamsaka, or the Flower Adornment Sutta. This is a very famous sutta. When Xu Yun was 56, the abbot Yulang of Kuoming Temple in Yangzhou was going to convene a continuous 12-week session of Dhyan meditation. 12 weeks is very long, almost 3 months. Preparing to leave, the group asked Xu Yun to go first. After reaching Tikang, he had to cross the river, but he had no money. The ferry left without him. As he walked along the river edge, he suddenly lost control of his footing, and he fell into the rushing water, where he bolted helplessly for a day and night, and was caught in the fisherman's net. He was carried to a nearby temple, where he was revived and treated for his injury. Feeling ill, he nevertheless returned to Yangzhou. When asked by Kuoming whether he would participate in the upcoming week of meditation retreat, he politely declined, without revealing his illness. The temple had rules, and those who were invited had to attend or else face punishment. In the end, Kuoming had Xu Yun beaten with a wooden ruler. He willingly accepted this punishment, although it worsened his condition. For the next several days, Xu Yun sat in continuous meditation, means despite the sickness. In his autobiography, he wrote, "In the purity of my singleness of heart, I forgot all about my body." See? That is the power of mind. 20 days later, my illness vanished completely. From that moment, with all my thoughts entirely wiped out. This is key. That's why I bold it. With all my thoughts entirely wiped out. Means he got no more thought. My cultivation took effect throughout the day and night. Means throughout the day and night, he is mindful without thought. My steps were as swift as if I was flying in the air because of the mindfulness. One evening after meditation, I opened my eye and suddenly saw I was in brightness, similar to broad daylight, in which I could see everything inside and outside the monastery. But he knew that this occurrence was only a mental state. This is the most important. Don't be deluded by it. In the Surangama Sutta, it's very clearly stated, Wu Si Ying Mo, the 50 deviant samadhi. If you do that, you will be caught. So Xu Yun realized this is one of the mental states that manifests. It's still within the state of mind, field of thought, and that it was not at all very rare. He did not become attached, this is key, to this achievement, but continue his single-minded investigation of the topic. They have this Kongan, who is mindful of the Buddha, or who is mindful of the recitation of the Buddha, over and over again. Because Pure Land, they chant, they develop this mindfulness on Amitabha Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then he said, he dwelled into this topic without interruption, means continuous awareness, mindfulness. But the very funny thing is about meditation and enlightenment, if you put in too much effort, it doesn't happen. Enlightenment doesn't happen. That's why it must be spontaneous, without any effort, without any mind that try to realize. The next paragraph you will understand. During the 12th lunar month, on the third evening of the 8th week of the session, because they have this 12-week session, after 6 hours of sitting meditation, The attendant made his round, filling up all the teacups. Xu Yun's hand was burned by spilling boiling water because the water that he carried to fill up was very hot. So he actually spilled and burned his hand. And his cup fell to the floor. You listen, this is the most interesting. At the sound of the crash, the root of his doubt or delusion was instantly severed. Because at that moment, there is no craving, no effort, nothing. Because his hand, remember, the hot water spilled, he was burned. And that instant, there was no thought. Then there was no effort. There was nobody trying to be mindful. During that instant, the delusion ceased to be. Then the poem will describe to you what happened. Then after that, he was joyous beyond words at having fulfilled his long life, a lifelong ambition, means to be enlightened. It was as if he had just awakened from a dream, and he observed how the condition of the past unraveled. Xu Yun's verse said, "A cup fell to the ground with a sound clearly heard." Then the last two verses, the most beautiful. As space was pulverized. You know what is pulverized? Like become powder. Disappear. Understand not? Means the consciousness, the thought, everything disappear. Form and mind all cease to be. Like there is no concept of space and time. That's why it's beyond time, beyond thought, beyond mind. The mad mind came to a stop. You know why he called it the mad mind? Because this mundane mind, he tried all sorts of ways to control. He cannot control. He called it the mad mind. You cannot control. You cannot suppress. You cannot do anything. You need to develop wisdom. That's it. So when the time comes, when the condition is there, ready, actually he was ready, but he didn't know. He put too much effort. That's why during that instant when the cup cracked, that vibration, very important. It can awaken you. Because during that moment, there is no effort, no thinking, nothing. It's just something that triggers off. Then the mind enters cessation straight away. That's why he awakened. The mad mind came to a stop. Cessation of form and mind. Whoever go through that, the form and mind, the mind realizes itself. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana will be realized straight away. So this is the part you need to understand. Otherwise, it's very difficult to understand the poem. Then we go on. The meaning of we accord with condition of flow with the Dhamma. This one, I mentioned it, but some of you who are not here or who are here but you cannot follow. So I have put them in note form because Sister Lee managed to write down this pointer. The word accord means not to resist, understand not? Hence there is harmony and no conflict. Conflict means disharmony, argument, etc. So to flow with the Dhamma means the same. That is, you don't resist or argue via accepting things as they are, or via seeing things as they are, without delusion, and let things be. This is very profound, very powerful. I got explained later. It is like martial art. If we were to resist or defend via rigid kung fu, then both will get hurt. But if you can use like Tai Chi to flow with it, then Tai Chi will send the force back to the aggressor who will be hurt by what he used, means by their own force. So this is a very good way of explaining the meaning of you accord and flow with nature's condition through your wisdom. Then the next one is the phenomenal world or the illusionary world that Xuanhua tried to explain to you. So I have recap some of the things that I spoke earlier on. Definition of phenomena. This is very important. If you cannot understand this, it's very difficult for you to understand what is a phenomenal world or illusionary world. Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. Get this right. This is very important. Then how do you know the world? Via your consciousness and mental perception, isn't it? And since consciousness and mental perception are just your mental images in your mind that arise and pass away continuously, hence the reason why the phenomenal world is actually an illusionary world, a world of consciousness. So now it's clear. The Mahayana also got a very famous saying. He said, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. This one came from the Surangama Sutta. Very powerful. So now you understand, all of nature's external form and your physical form, they arise through perception. So perception of form is actually consciousness, your mental consciousness. Whereas its non-perception is wisdom. So when you don't perceive, means what? You see things as they are, without words, without concept, without idea, without perception. That's why that is wisdom. You see truth. You see the reality. You see things as they are, without words, without concept, without idea, without anything. Just as it is. Like a child, newborn child, no memory, nothing. Just see things as they are. Okay, then we move on. This is most profound, and the enlightened one will understand it. Now you understand why the Mahayana also say that the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. This is also the reason why the Surangama Sutta said, consciousness created the world and the continent, the star and the universe, and the knower become the living being. So through form and mind, through thought and form delusion, because you are deluded by the form and the thought, the mundane mind. The knower deludedly cling on to the five aggregates of form and mind, or what you call the living being, thinking that it is real, and this is what they are. That's why Sakkayaditti come to be. Hence the deluded living being clings on to the false, becomes the traveler in space and time, wandering through samsara and undergoing birth and death for eternity. So this is how you fall. From the first thought of ignorance, you got conditioned into what you are now. Then birth after birth, you cling on to the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you. That's how samsara continue to spin. You're never free. Because you have mistaken the false for the real. The true nature got nothing to do with the five aggregate of form and mind. The five aggregate of form and mind is a byproduct of that true nature. It is conditioned into existence through your delusion, nothing else. So this part you must understand. Then under the notes, this one you try to reflect, contemplate and understand. This is a very important note. True mind does not stir, because it is true suchness. Or in the Mahayana terminology, they like to use this word, zuzu putong. Zuzu is suchness, putong is no movement, zuzu. Only the mundane mind stir. We are delusion. Mundane mind without wisdom is the discriminating mind. Fen bie xing, remember? Discriminate. The mind that like to discriminate. Very, very reactive. That's why it is deluded. It reacts to sense experience. Whatever you see, you hear, you think, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel, you grasp onto it through your delusion. Then the second note is the definition of hallucinatory. hallucinatory. This one is the word used by Master Chuen Hua, I think. So Sister Lee has kindly checked the dictionary. Thinking it is real, but it's not real. That's why it's hallucination. You go and hallucinate. You create through your thought. The observer is the observer. This one is a very important saying. They use the experiencer is the experience. So it's the same. This one, J. Krishnamurti like to use this phrase. The observer is the observer. Leading to seeing things as they are. As per the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha also spoke about this profound wisdom, but in a different way. He always tell the monk, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see, anasana. It's just a consciousness. That's why the observer is the observer. There is no one observing. So this is very profound. So if you can understand this, in the seeing, it is only the seeing consciousness and there is no one to see. Hence, no delusion. Otherwise, the moment you associate and cling onto it, what you see or what you observe, delusion or sakkaya ditti has already arisen. So this part is very powerful. I will elaborate on it a little bit more so that you can understand. I will use what they call some physics knowledge that you use to learn from the school. I think even Form 3 or Form 2, you learn them. Those who are in Form 4, Form 5, if you are science stream, you will know. You see, there is this famous physics experiment where you got a battery, then you got a light bulb. Let's say this is the light bulb. Then you got a switch. Let's say the battery is in the right polarity, positive, negative. Then this is the switch. Then this is the light bulb. Let's say this light bulb is functioning. So what will happen when you press on the switch? When you make contact, what happens? The light bulb will light up, isn't it? Do you need any God or anything to create this? The phenomena of the light bulb lighting up. You don't need, is it? This is nature's law, isn't it? Condition arising, is it? Very natural, isn't it? So the Buddha say, our sense organ work the same way. So under modern science, you can say this is like your organ. The bulb is like your organ, your eye. Understand that? The switch is where your mind make contact. So this contact is mind. Your mind can make contact. When it make contact, you become conscious of what you see. Understand that? So the lighting up is consciousness. Understand that? So the moment it lights up means you become conscious. Understand that? That's why the Buddha said in the seeing, only that consciousness. Understand that? There is no one to see. Understand that? This is very profound. When you understand this, you understand how you function as a human being. All of your senses is the same, the hearing, the smell, the taste, the tactile, and the thought consciousness. So this is the most profound. If you understand this, your delusion will go. But knowledge and realization are two different things. Knowledge cannot free you. Knowledge means you know you cannot do. Anasana, that is knowledge. But when it becomes a part of you, means you have that wisdom and understanding already, then you can execute it. You can become what you believe the knowledge tells you. It is a realization. It is an awakening, a wisdom. So what I explained to you, you can use your knowledge to understand first. but you need to reflect, contemplate deep into it. Then during the meditation one day, you suddenly awaken to it. Then you realize what the Buddha told you. In the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. It's just like that. That's why Krishnamurti is very good. The observer is the observer. There is no one to see. Understand or not? Understand or not? There is no one to experience anything. The experiencing is actually this light bulb. Understand or not? The consciousness within the content. All those things that actually create the experience. There is nobody there. So if you understand this, you will be able to break free from Sakkaya Ditti, or what they call self-delusion. The mind that deludedly grasps on to all the five aggregates of form and mind. Okay, we finish the first part. Oh, very early. 10 minutes. Good. Yeah. So any question? Is this clear? You have to get this right. Because this one, you must get it right. Then very easy to follow later on. Otherwise, you can never understand the Heart Sutta. Okay, if there's no question, we go on. There is a question that one of the sisters asked. He said, can visualization, like visualizing a blue, peaceful sky, be used as a technique to develop mindfulness? The answer is, this type of visualization technique, like any other skillful means, if used with understanding, that's why I qualify it. If you use it with understanding, can also bring about the training of the mind to be peaceful and calm. Just like auto-suggestion via music, sound and vibration is the same. Because you need some visualization to make you peaceful, understand not? So music is through hearing, understand? You need some hearing to make you peaceful, understand not? That's why if the music is very soothing, the auto-suggestion will make you feel calm. Because living beings, before you are enlightened, you are very easily conditioned by what you see, what you hear, and what you think. Understand? So if it's something very pleasant, very soothing, then you will be conditioned into it. So that's how you function as a human being. But when you have wisdom, nothing can condition you. You see things as they are without delusion. There is nothing good or bad about whatever that happened. Everything is just the way it is. It happened because there are causes and conditions behind. There is no reality. He no you, he no me. That's why no Sakkaya Ditti, no delusion. No one to see, no one to hear, no one to think. Then what can disturb this form and mind? The form and mind that has this type of wisdom and understanding is completely free. It does not get itself entangled through delusion. Understand not? So this is an important part. Okay, then we go on. But the disadvantage of this type of skillful mean is that it usually only works for the first few times. And after a while, like good food, it loses its effectiveness. The other type of visualization technique using kasinas or the 40 objects of meditation are also quite common. And they are used to develop one-pointedness concentration, followed by the development of jhanas and deep concentration, leading to all the psychic abilities. Or sometimes they call it abhinya, special ability. This type of meditation is more dangerous, unless, I qualify it, it is done with understanding and preferably under the guidance of a very good and very skillful meditation teacher. If you want to do this type of meditation, you need to have very good understanding or very, very good teacher, very skillful one. Otherwise, chances of you getting trapped is very high. Chances of you getting what they call distracted or being conditioned into believing certain of this deviant samadhi is very high. So be careful. If you want to do this, you make sure you understand what you are doing and you have proper guide. Otherwise, be careful. It can be done. There are a lot who go through this type of meditation. Then you got the understanding. Finally, you know how to release the concentration out to daily mindfulness. You can also awaken, no problem. But you must know how to release it and come out to natural state of awareness. Otherwise, all the anusaya or latent tendency, they are all suppressed by this high state of concentration. So this is a very important part. You pay attention. I go on. If one clings and attaches to such one-pointedness, concentration, and special jhanic ability, then one can get trapped. And chances of deviation from the true cultivation of wisdom to free the mind from all suffering can happen, can occur. So this part, be careful. Because the purpose of meditation as taught by the Buddha is just to develop the wisdom to free your mind, not to have all those psychic ability and get yourself entangled by it. Deludedly believe that these are special quality. You have become enlightened because you have this ability to read mind, to do special powers, to create things and all those things. So you have to be careful. As long as suffering can still arise in your mind, when the First Noble Truth, the eighth condition of the First Noble Truth comes to be. Okay, I'll go on. The mind that is in one-pointedness concentration is a conditioned mind still within the field of thought. This is what you must know. It is still within the mundane mind, the field of thought. You are holding on to that mundane mind. You kill everything into one point. That's why one-pointedness. You think there is no thought because there is no movement. But who says it's no thought? It's the thought that says it's no thought. That's why you are within the field of thought, you don't know. You are caught inside there. So the thought that tells you there is no thought make you believe you have gone beyond thought. But actually you kill everything into one-pointedness. And you are not with the free mind without thought. You are actually within the field of thought. But it's a conditioned state. You lock everything into one. You like freeze it. You doesn't allow it to move through concentration. That's why it's a conditioned state. That is such a mind is not a free mind with clear awareness or sati within and in samadhi, born of equanimity or wisdom. The key word is wisdom. So make a note. Okay. You got any question? If you don't have it, move on to the second question. How to apply the wisdom of letting be to solve all of our life's problems? This one is very profound. That's why I had to explain. With right view, born of wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, we will not react or allow the mind to stir through. When confronted with the First Noble Truth realities of life and existence. The First Noble Truth, you know, the eight conditions. Birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones and your prized possession. Then the sixth one is when you are with people whom you don't like. The seventh condition is when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, suffering comes to be. Then the final summary, the eighth condition is, the Buddha said, when you deludedly cling and grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, he called it the upadana kanda, the grasping aggregate. Suffering comes to be. So these are the eight conditions. Hence no fear, no worry and anxiety or any suffering. So you need to have right view. That is, we just let things be. After accepting the reality of the moment, then with a calm and clear mind, we can weigh our options and then act appropriately, following the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation. To resolve all our life situation or problems amicably. So this part is very important. If you don't react, means you are at peace. When you are at peace, what happens? Your mind has clarity. There is calmness. So because of that, you can weigh your option, because your mission is to resolve whatever life situation or so-called problem in inverted comma. Understand or not? So if you do that, then it will help you overcome all of your problems. So that's why when you don't have the wrong view, when you are not deluded, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Thing is just the way it is. So with a clear mind, a calm mind, you have clarity. Then when you accept things as they are, let things be, you do not react. You do not get angry. You do not create negativity, which means you don't have delusion. So this is the best way to act, to take action, to resolve your problem. That's why, how do you act? Act appropriately, following the Noble Eightfold Path. What is Noble Eightfold Path? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Understand or not? Means you speak the proper speech. You arise gentle, pleasant, and appropriate wise speeches that leads to harmony, that lead to understanding, that enable you to resolve the whatever problem or situation. But if you were to act and speak with anger, harsh speech, frivolous speech, all the wrong speech, what will happen? It will create more misunderstanding, isn't it? It will create more disharmony, isn't it? Then the problem becomes worse. You not only don't resolve it, you create more enmity. You create more situation of it. Then you can even become violent and angry. Or the other person can also become violent and angry. Then it will lead to a lot of conflict. And the conflict can lead to war. Can lead to all of the disaster that can be very, very detrimental to all people. So this is very important. So you act following Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, to resolve all of your so-called life situation or problem amicably. That is without any negativity or wrong thought. Always remember, wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your selfishness, your unhappiness, your misery. These are all wrong thoughts. So whatever that is responsible for this type of mental state, they are wrong thoughts. So do not let it arise. You have to follow the Buddha's advice. Arise the four right effort to abandon this wrong thought. Understand not? So that it ceases to be. Then I explain further. Without wisdom and right view, born of understanding the Buddha Dharma, one will react and allow the mind to stir, to arise the fear, worry, and anxiety, etc., like normal deluded living being, leading to all the mental suffering, like sorrow, grief, lamentation, etc. The cause of suffering being delusion, that condition one's grasping and clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is the second noble truth that explains the cause behind all of your suffering. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha says, suffering need not be if one has the wisdom and enlightenment or nibbana in the here and the now. It's possible. Then following the Noble Eightfold Path, or the fourth noble truth, which is the way out of suffering. One cultivates the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, leading to the end of all suffering. So this is how you can resolve all of your life situation and problem. Okay, we finished the recap and the notes. You got any question or not? Huh? Do you have any question? If you don't have, we continue. Huh? So today we can continue to introduction 3. Huh? You turn to page 22, huh? The Roman numbers. The heart of Prajnaparamita, with verse without a stand and prose commentary, consists of 3 parts: the sutta and the master's lectured commentary on the text and verse together. So there are 3 parts. Okay, the sutta is an essential summary of the Mahayana Buddhist teaching about emptiness. See? This is Prajnaparamita Sutta, perfection of wisdom. That's why you develop understanding of true emptiness. And is widely recited and studied throughout the Buddhist land or Buddhist world. The verse without a stand written by the Venerable Master in the year 1960s consists of 15 stanzas of 8 lines each. And in the standard 7 character unrhymed Buddhist verse form, the master lectured on both the sutta and the verse at Buddhist Lecture Hall in San Francisco from April 20th to July 27th. It took them 3 over months too. You realize or not? May, June, July, 3 months, 1 week. In 1969, he had lectured on them once before when they were first written, but no recording or other records of those lectures has been made. So the recording at that time was not made. So only when it was repeated the second time, the recording was made. Sound very familiar? My first series I did at my house on the Tuesday class also not recorded. Now this one, I don't know, the condition just arise, somebody recorded it. We need to thank Brother Sui An and Didio, and also Stephanie, for arising the condition to actually ask the Kayanamita Fund and also Subang Jaya side. Actually, this system was donated by Subang Jaya Kayanamita Fund to us very kindly. We rejoice. Can we say sadhu 3 times? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And Sui An actually very good at this thing because he's an electrical engineer, my classmate. He's very good at buying all these gadgets. So we should rejoice. The condition is such, it has to be, meant to be. That's why it falls into place. And do you all feel it helps so much with the recording? You can listen to it again. Last time when done at my house, I tell you, you never come, you miss the session, that's all, finished. You can only hear about it from somebody else. And most of the time, nobody can explain to you, I tell you. Now it's very good. Not only is recorded, the short notes, we should thank Sister Lee. She took the trouble to take down the notes. She sacrificed for you all because she can actually sit down and listen, forget about all this. But she sacrificed. But don't worry, that sacrifice is worth a lot. Initially, it's like she sacrificed, understand? Because while you listen and you write, you lose the ability to actually understand. But no problem. Because this merits or this sacrifice is so wholesome, it will bring forth the condition for her to move very fast later on. When she go through the notes, listen to the recording again, it will go in very fast, very much faster than without the notes. So whatever you do, if it's out of sincerity and goodness, the Dhamma will come to be. Just like the sharing I sent out, Guangqing 啊 ，sorry， 净空法师啊，光清和尚，净空法师 ，I send out through the Mahayanamitta， you should listen to that one， very good， a lot of wisdom， he talk about Zen Lang， be patient and be willing to， like if people want， they desire so much， you give it to them， you let them have it， understand not？To those who think that if you do this, you stand to lose, isn't it? The other party stand to gain, isn't it? No, he says. If you understand the Dhamma, the law of karma, this giving is the one who really receives the blessing. The one who actually fight for it loses everything. Because there is no understanding. The nature's law is very powerful.Law of karma, you reap what you sow. When you give to yourself. Understand? Generosity brings forth blessings. You receive more. The more you give, the more you receive. The more you take through selfishness, through craving, the more you lose out. So this is a very powerful sharing. So this one gives us a condition to understand. That's why I was very surprised. All these are very familiar. I was also second round. There is condition to have it at Wuping Jingse. The first round it was not recorded. So this round, even if people don't attend, they can still listen. And if they have the faith, they can still benefit. And it's very beautiful. Okay, we go on. During the second occasion,The lecture was recorded on tapes, from which I make a draft translation. I had already made a first translation of the verse, together with explanatory notes. They also have, during 1968 and early 1969. Master of Art thesis, MA stands for Master of Art, in the Department of Asian Language.At the University of Washington. The translation of the sutta verse and lecture commentary and extensive notes were serially published in the Vajra Bohisi, numbers 8 to 25, between November 1970 and April 1972. You see the difference or not? It took them 2-3 years later to come out with that.And they say last time it's on tape. Now it's not on tape. Now it's on MP3. Understand? You can play it back. The tape, you got to do the recording. Then you got to buy the tape. Then you got to listen. And here, because they need the translation committee's approval and all those things, so all this take time. Then here,They were lucky. The master himself did the first translation. I cannot. You ask me to do, I cannot. I don't know. You have to forgive me or pardon me. I never do that. Once I said, finish, gone. I cannot repeat them. You ask me to repeat the same Heart Sutta, I will explain to you totally different. You ask those people who attend the first time also same. Because I don't prepare.I tell you, since the day I start, I never prepare anything. I come to this class, I just read, and I just explain. Because I cannot prepare. If I prepare means what? What do I do? I try to remember that. Correct or not? And what I share with you, if it's from memory, is knowledge. Understand or not? Not understanding at all. That's why I cannot prepare. And I will never prepare anything.But of course, prepare to bring the recorder, or I have to. I have to plan it. Otherwise, I can forget, you know. There was one day, I tell you, I think on two occasions. I went to Sui An's place Thursday. I teach meditation there. Do you know what happened? 1 year already. But the record was not so bad. Only on two occasions, I forgot to bring this bell. This bell. you can ask me for, she had to look for a spell and lend it to me. That's why sometimes I can remember, I can actually forget. So if one day I don't bring the mic, pardon me, forgive me, because I don't have memory actually. But because of this class, I make it a point. I tell myself I must do it first. If I last minute, I should forget one. So every day, actually, Saturday or Sunday, whenever the condition is there for me to remember, I will put my thing in the car first. Otherwise, I forget, I tell you, I forget. So sometimes, if I come without the recorder or the mic, you have to excuse me. But not too far. I go back maybe 15 minutes, to and fro, half an hour. So you have to understand. The way I share is different because I cannot memorize. I cannot prepare things and explain to you. The notes help because if there is no notes, there is no framework. Understand? Or? That's why this note, I have to prepare. And when I prepare, I don't listen to what I say. I prepare based on what I have at that moment when I receive from Sister Lee. Sometimes I need to add something because I know there are certain things like Xu Yun Lao He Sang, the internet, very useful nowadays. And even the Heart Sutra last time, about Hui Ning and all those things. The internet now, if you go in, if you know how to screen them, you can get very good information. But like anything, if you don't know how to screen, everything is there, good and bad, right and wrong, all there. You have to be very careful. So when you have understanding and wisdom, the internet can be very beautiful. But when you are deluded, you be careful. Whatever you take from the internet, do not accept everything as gospel truth. Understand not? Investigate into it, find out before you use it. Okay, we go on. I was subsequently unable to work further on the translation until 1997. Wow, you are very lucky. For 5 years, he didn't do anything. When I was able to extensively revise the verse translation and to work further on the translation of the sutta and spoken commentary, the entire work was then edited by Upasika Kuo Zhou, David Rounds. This one is very good. Who has done much to enhance it readably and clarity. That's why you all can do the what they call this important work, service to the Buddhist community. Service to the Dhamma community, to the world. You see, a lot of these volunteer workers, they are the one who has this, what they call, very good intention to help people. Some of them are bodhisattvas. That's why when you volunteer and do this, that's how the transcript come about. Some of the notes that I give you during the early days, they are actually from the hard work and sincerity of a lot of Kayanamitas. They take their trouble to do the transcript. Then after that, they actually pass it to me. I edit it. Then we send it back for proofreading. The proofreading I have to go through a few times because all these are very important. We cannot afford to have mistake. Because when there is a mistake, the whole meaning can be totally wrong and it can affect a lot of people. So that's why here, comparatively, we are so much more lucky. They took so long. Then this Upasika Kuo Zhou, David Rao, helped. The Chinese text of the spoken commentary was transcribed from the original tape by my wife. Oh, that David's wife, Upasika Kuo Han. You know what is this Kuo? My generation of disciples under Master Xuan Hua is all Kuo. If your name, the last name is whatever it is, that your Dhamma name is Kuo and the last name. Understand not? Like my last name is Kun, I become Kuo Kun the year I take refuge, 1986. Kuo Kun. So all these guo guo guo, my lineage one, and as a si xiong di, I never met them before, and I don't know them. But I have to explain to you, because all this guo one is my lineage one. If it's that lineage disciple, is another one. It's like the Chinese surname, huh? You know, huh? You all got your middle name or last name, isn't it? Your family descendant. If they read to you their middle name or last name, you will know which generation they are in. It's the same. Yes. Use the mic, huh? Use the mic, huh? Pass it over. Yeah. Because the recording, otherwise they cannot hear. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. 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 Yes, it's like the Chinese family tree thing. Like my generation, our generation is all Kian. My brother is Kian Hin. I'm Kian Kun. Then my other brother is Kian Siong, Kian On, and all those things. All the Kian On. Then lady is Gui Zhen, Gui Fang, and all those things. Then the next generation is different already. It's all Fa. My son one all Fa. Jun Fa, Chen Fa, my brother's son. Chen Fa, Chang Fa, all the Fa on. So you know Fa is one generation below me. Then my father one is, there is one word at the end. Yes. I don't know. I didn't find out. Because he so far I haven't heard them give name to the next generation of disciple yet. Means the student disciple I haven't come across yet. There must be. Anybody know? Maybe some of you. Same. Guo Hua, my generation, yes. Chang, oh, good, thank you. Now I know. So you all later on, if there is condition, you take refuge under me, become Chang. Andy Chang. Just a joke, don't worry. No, it's for easy identification, understand or not? So nothing spiritual, nothing. So you just make a note so that you know which generation they are from. Okay? Any other question? Okay, we continue. Okay. So this one, the Chinese text of the spoken commentary was transcribed from the original tape by this David's wife, Upasika Kuo Han. The actual name is Yao Sen Liu, or English name, Epstein. Okay, and was published in 1979, together with the Chinese text of the Sutta and the Verse by the Buddhist Text Society as a companion volume to the present one. Since the Chinese translation and the English translation were edited independently, they do not always coincide exactly. This is to let you know. You read the Mandarin one and the English, they can run. You understand? Because of interpretation. Nevertheless, I am confident they do not differ in any important aspect. This is the confidence Master Xuan Hua gave to you. Because he himself doesn't know English, so he doesn't know what was translated in English. He knows the Mandarin one very well. What for me is most outstanding about the verse without a stand and prose commentary is direct and practical approach. This is very true. The Huineng Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta is very direct and very practical. That's why that sutta, the Platform Sutta, Liu Chu Huineng, I tell you, the poem are very powerful. If you understand, you penetrate very fast. Therefore, since the translation is intended primarily for those who wish to put it to use, we have not encumbered the text with technical apparatus of interest only to the scholar. Notes are limited to explanatory reference, and no attempt has been made to refer the reader to the scholarly literature. Sanskrit is given where it may be of special interest. Where Sanskrit and English are not entirely equivalent, the English has been translated from the Chinese, and the Sanskrit has been given as preference. So this is a right way, because Sanskrit is more authentic. Sometimes the English translation still run. Since the words are both profound and tears, it is difficult to convey their full meaning in English. This is very true. I realize this also. There's a certain word, the Pali word or the Sanskrit word, like Sankara. They use 4 or 5 English words equivalent, not enough, still cannot define the whole thing. So the deep meaning is very difficult. We go on. In the translation, I have striven to communicate clearly the simplest level of understanding and have made no attempt to reproduce the poetic qualities of the verse. Hopefully in the future, someone of greater skill and sensitivity will be able to render into English more fully their magnificent beauty. This one I can do. This part I can do. The English one. I can actually do it better than what is written here by the translator. But you have to have the Dhamma to appreciate. Otherwise not easy. That's why Master Xuan Hua knew. Not easy for those who have yet to have the realization to translate this particular Heart Sutta that he spoke. A final word about the process of translation. As with all translation done under the auspices of the Buddhist Text Translation Society, the present work has been reviewed, edited, and certified by highly qualified people. See? They are very qualified, all of whom adhere to the society's rule of translation, which are listed in this book. So if you look, I think it's somewhere at the back. They are all listed. The rules are very strict, the translation. They have the Sangha and lay people training program and all those things. Then there is also a lot of very strict, what they call, translation rules that they need to adhere to. The next page is already there. The 8 important criteria. So this part is very important. They have this Dhammarayam University at Wan Fortson, the city of 10,000 Buddhas. There is a Buddhist university there. That's why you look at the note down there. Upasika Kuozong, abstain. Vice President and Dean of Letters and Science, Dhammarayam Buddhist University. He is a member. Buddhist Text Translation Society. So the 8 guidelines of Buddhist Text Translation Society. Next page. We just read this, then we finish. A volunteer must free him or herself from the motive of personal fame and profit. See? This is very good. Then a volunteer must cultivate a respectful and sincere attitude, free from arrogance and conceit. This is also very important. Then a volunteer must refrain from aggrandizing his or her work and denigrating that of others. This is very important. You cannot simply say bad things about other people's work. Then a volunteer must not establish him or herself as the standard of correctness and suppress the work of others with his and her fault finding. This is also very important. If you are not sincere, you want to come up, then you just point out all the mistakes that people do. A volunteer must take the Buddha's mind as his or her own mind. Huh? This one may be difficult to do. Huh? A volunteer must use the wisdom of Dhamma selecting vision to determine the true principle. Mm. So the use of wisdom of Dhamma is very important. Huh? A volunteer must request virtuous elders in the 10 direction to certify his or her translation. Ah, this one is very important. Huh? This one refers to those who know how to communicate and make the vow, or what they call the sincere communication to assist their help, to request their help to assist. So that's why this one, you have to request the virtuous elders in the 10 direction, means throughout the entire universe. 10 direction means all direction. To certify to his or her translation, very important. A volunteer must endeavor to propagate the teaching by printing sutta or sastra texts and vinaya texts when the translation are certified as being correct. So here means propagate means share, understand? Not? When there is condition, you should allow it to be shared by all. This is not like trying to convert people. Don't get it wrong. Endeavor to propagate means when there is the appropriate condition, you must allow this truth or this translation to be benefited by all. Okay, we finish. Excuse me. We got 7 more minutes. You got any question? First time we are early, huh? You got any more question or not? Yeah? Don't have. Okay. Then we can take a break. But before that, you look at this page, the next page. This one is Master Xuan Hua's drawing of our original teacher. That's why Namo Bensi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo original teacher Sakyamuni Buddha. You see, when it comes to China, the face look like Chinese. So you have to understand all this. The culture have a play in all this. So if you are not familiar with the Mahayana Buddha image, you can go and look into the Theravada text. Get a nicer one. It's not the image, understand not? The image is just a condition for you to recall to mind the great virtue and wisdom of Lord Buddha, understand not? What is more important is if you can recall to mind the great wisdom, loving kindness, love and compassion of great Buddha or Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. You actually, if you can, allow it to enter your heart. You recall to mind all this great wisdom, loving kindness and compassion of Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Have it in your heart. Then feel it. Then with the joy, assimilate it. Then you can radiate out all this goodness, kindness, pure energy. Then when you awaken, when you understand, you do the Dhamma work like what they did to help you. Then you help others. That's how the whole, what they call, Dhamma process work. Initially you receive, that's not, because that is the time we need to connect. Once we are connected, we have this ability, then it is our turn to share. But don't be too eager to share. Wait for your condition. When you are ready, you will know the condition will arise. Then things will happen. So accord, don't force. Okay, you can take a break. Okay. Maybe what we do is there are some who just walk in. We just pay respect to the Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the Vodhi once, one more time, before we start the meditation. Then I will share with you a little bit of what Sister Lee had shared with you. I only heard the last part. I didn't hear the early part, but now I think I understand roughly what was shared. We will do the respect. Maybe we will do the Namo Tassa three times, then we take refuge. The five precepts we will also renew, because some just came in. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musāvādā virāmani sikkhā padaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surā mirayā majjhā paṃmādathanā virāmani sikkhā padaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect. Mindful. Okay, we can start the second session about meditation. Before we start, I think I will just share with you something which Sister Lee wants me to share. If I don't hear her wrong, is it about a couple, maybe from Europe or Westerner, who are foreign? They have somebody want to deliver, they're having problem with that. Then they appeal to the two musicians or what, I don't know. And this musician, they know the Heart Sutta. It means they must have the Dhamma. Then it so happened, they recited something. Then they use the conventional way. First hour, baby not delivered. Second hour, baby not delivered. Third hour, baby delivered. Then the baby came out. So she said, it's like a lot of coincidence. No, it's not coincidence. Sometimes the enlightened one, they know. When there is condition, they know, and they can help. And you know what happened? During the Buddha's time, there was also a similar situation. There was this monk, Angulimala. You heard of Angulimala? You will never believe. he killed 999 person. And the last one, he almost killed the mother to make it 1,000. Because he got a teacher that told him, and he got so strong a faith in him, told him that if you can bring to me 1,000 human, what they call fingers, the bones, then I will teach you the right meditation to become enlightened. So he already got 999 short of one. Then nobody dare to come to that mountain or pass by that way. Then he saw the mother. I tell you, if he had killed the mother, he cannot become an arahant. Because that is the five heavy karma, patricide. So the Buddha, when he surveyed the world, he knew that out of love and compassion, he came and stopped Angulimala. He told Angulimala, hey, look here. Then Angulimala was thinking, hey, that was my mother. I cannot do it. Instead, there is a monk here. I should go after this monk. So he went after Sakyamuni. But Sakyamuni was, because he was fully enlightened and he has this abhinya, special ability. So he just keep that distance from him. The moment Angulimala speed up, he also move faster. So Angulimala chase until he was so exhausted. Then he shouted to the Buddha to stop. Then the Buddha stopped. He was panting. Then the Buddha told him, I have long stopped. You are the one who didn't stop. Angulimala cannot understand, you know. I was trying so hard to chase you. You keep on moving and you say you stop. The Buddha said, I have stopped killing long, long time ago. But you never stop. You continue killing. Then he looked at the Buddha. How come this man talks so differently? Then he asked the Buddha a few things. Then you know what happened. After that, the Buddha explained to him the Dhamma. Because when he was in the sober mind, calm mind, with the right view, he connect back to his past. And the Buddha knew he can become an arahant. So Angulimala take refuge under the Buddha that day itself. He gave up all the things that he did. And he vowed to repent and ask for forgiveness. That he cultivate very sincerely. And do you know how difficult or not? Because of his negative karma. When people come to know he become a monk, they abuse him, they stone him. They actually make life very difficult for him. He went for Pindapat, he don't have food. He suffered so much. But he persevered. The Buddha, they all helped him. The monk gave him food. Then he became enlightened. He became an arahant. And you know what happened when he became an arahant? He became so famous was because of one incident. There was a lady pregnant, about to deliver. Nobody can help. I think it's complication. Yeah? The child, maybe the head didn't come down, the leg come down. So there was complication. The delivery cannot, and the mother was suffering. So Angulimala was there, the monk. And you know what he did? Out of love and compassion that instant, he just tell the people, let me try. Then you know what he did? He invoked the power of truth. He just said one sentence. He said, by the power of this truth, since the day I take ordination or refuge under the Buddha, I have stopped killing. By the power of this truth, may the child be safely born or delivered. And you know what happened? The moment he finished that power of truth, the baby was born, delivered. That's why there is no coincidence. They know the condition is there. Then after that, the villager, the word spread like wildfire, and he became famous. So now the Angulimala Sutta, you know, is for what? deliver baby. So they say you want to have a good birth, you chant Angulimala Sutta by the power that through. And all this can happen, I tell you. The enlightened one, they know. They know how to use the power of truth. And the Buddha used it many times. You go through the sutta, Jaya Mangala Sutta, or Mangala Sutta. By the power of this truth, may what and what happen. It's all there. But you must have the virtue, understand? If you don't have the virtue, you can go and do it. It won't work, understand? That's why you must. But you cannot simply use, understand? Because it's not something that you can use all over. There must be affinity. There must be condition. There must be karmic affinity. Otherwise, it cannot. That's why the nature's law is very powerful. When you understand, it can work. And I have teach many people how to use all this. And the way it happens is very, very strange. Sometimes people can even tell you. It's amazing, isn't it? If I don't see it happening to my own family member, I will never believe that this thing can really work. So there are many other ways where you can invoke the power of merits, the power of truth to help you, to help your loved ones, or to help in whatever situation that you have the sincerity, the love to help. And it can function, it works. Even normal people who are not enlightened yet, but if you are sincere, determined, if you have that faith, and you really want to help your loved ones, I can teach you how to do, and it can work. But you must be very sincere. And that moment when you do it, you must take refuge. You must keep your precept. You must have a good mind, strong mind. And it can happen. It work. Okay? So with that, we can start. Okay. Today, we are very fortunate. Sister Lee has helped use the computer to print out the five spiritual faculty and the five mental hindrance is on the board. Anybody who is new to the meditation, you meditate before? No. Okay. You know the Buddhist teaching? The Buddha Dharma? Good. Means you understand the basic teaching, the Four Noble Truths and all those things. Okay. Very good. Maybe for those who already know how to meditate, if you want, you can straight away start your meditation. Always remember, you are here to train your mind. For those who already train, you meditate straight away. No need to train. But for those who are still new or who still haven't trained your mind, you can actually develop the skillful means to train your mind. The skillful means that I use are normally the mind sweeping method, combined with metta or loving kindness. Then after that, I will teach you how to train your mind using anapanasati or mindfulness of breathing, the in and out breathing. Okay, you can start your meditation for those who already know. For those who are new or who need instruction, you listen. Okay, our mind, the Buddha said, if you have not trained this mind, it is not peaceful. It think a lot. It has a lot of worry, anxiety, problem. It has the tendency to be heedlessly lost in the thought process. Then you come and meditate and force it into a posture, it become more restless, so more difficult to meditate. The reason for this is the Buddha said, there are five hindrances that can hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why it's called the mental hindrances. It's on the left hand side of the blue board. The first two are very common, sensual desire and ill will. The Buddha said, as a human being, we have our five physical senses. Then we have the mind. Together is the sixth sense door. Every moment of consciousness, when you become conscious, means When you see something, means you become conscious of what you see. Or you hear something, you become conscious of what you hear, what you think. The tendency is you react to what you see and what you think and what you hear. So these three doors are very powerful. And throughout the day, you use them. So the Buddha said, the moment you react means there is a like and dislike over what you see and what you hear or what you think. When you develop the desire, the liking for what you see, he called it the sensual desire. You are distracted. Your mind is drawn to that sense experience, that sensual desire that arises. That's why it's no longer silent within, no longer aware within to meditate. That's why he said it's a hindrance. Your mind has been distracted, means preoccupied with what you think, preoccupied with the sense desire or sense experience. Likewise, if it's something that you don't like, you get angry, unhappy, you react through aversion. The Buddha called it ill will. The positive and negative, like and dislike, over that sense experience that you come to experience. So because of that, these things stir your mind, constantly make you think, constantly make your mind preoccupied with the state that you are attracted to or drawn to or reacted to. If it's a desire, a craving, then you are drawn to that. If it's the negative craving, then it is the ill will, the dislike, the unpleasantness. That's why both of these states, the Buddha called it the duality. They coincide with the three evil roots of greed and hatred. So there's an essential desire and ill will. Throughout the day, you experience them. That's why if you don't train your mind, if you are not mindful and heedful, your mind will be conditioned into this reactive mode. That's why it's not peaceful. The hindrances are very powerful. They are constantly there. So this is what you must look for when you meditate. When you have this uncomfortable feeling, then you label it as a pain, means you have ill will. If it's a nice mental state, you cling onto it, then you have sensual desire. The third one is sleepiness, sloth and torpor, or lethargic mind. If you don't understand what you are doing, why you have to meditate, then you will become like normal people. There is lack of passion, lack of understanding what you are doing in the name of meditation. Then you become sleepy. It's just like when you attend a class, if the subject you don't like, you become sleepy. But if there is something you like the meditation that the Buddha teach, because you tell yourself, this is what that can transform me and make me a better person. I can become more calm, more peaceful and less restless. I can develop the wisdom, the joy within to become enlightened. Then I don't have to suffer. I don't have to arise any more fear, worry, anxiety and unhappiness. And I can live life perfect, always happy, full of joy, because I have this wisdom. So knowing that this is what you can achieve and realize through this meditation, you will determine with very strong faith to cultivate this meditation. Then sleepiness will be gone. The fourth one is restlessness. When your mind has problem, financial problem, career problem, relationship problems, or health problem, you tend to become restless because you have fear, worry, anxiety. Fear, worry, anxiety is the one that conditions your restlessness. That's why you are not peaceful. So if you have what they call problems of life, like what I mentioned just now, you will have this restless mind. So that's why the Buddha said, to meditate, you must keep your precept. Make sure that your precept is at least in order. Then you don't have this restless mind, less problem. The last one is doubt, when you are not sure of what you are doing. Then the Buddha said, to overcome these five hindrances that come and hinders you, you must develop the spiritual faculty, the five on the right. The first three are very important. Saddha, the first one, or faith, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. When you are confident of him, through knowing how special he is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. So to have such a teacher is a blessing. You will have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. That's why you cultivate the composed mind, the calm mind, to pay respect to him, to bow to him, out of love and compassion for him. Then that respect, that gratitude, actually will bring forth the very strong faith of Saddha. So this is how you develop your mind. When the faith is there, you will be very calm and very composed. That's how the thinking can go away. Then when you understand the beauty of the Buddha's teaching and uniqueness of his wisdom and virtue, you will become very determined to follow him. That's why it will arise the second spiritual faculty, the spiritual zeal, or what they call virya, the tenacity to cultivate, to train your mind to meditate. So this is the part you need to develop. Then once you have these two, the faith and the virya very strong, then you will determine to train your mind to meditate. That's how you start. Then you pay respect mindfully. Mindfully means no thought, no thinking. Body and mind move as one without thought, in harmony. Then when you meditate also, you silence your mind. Then you just be aware. So this mindfulness is very important. The purpose of the meditation here is two parts. First, you train your mind to be mindful, aware. When you are mindful and aware, you don't think. When you don't think, you are calm, you are peaceful. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. All this come about through your thought, thinking. So now I will teach you how to train your mind, how to develop this mindfulness within you. So that you don't think so much, so that you are more calm and more peaceful. Okay, I will use the mind sweeping method. You just relax your body and mind. Make sure your backbone is straight. You got a stable posture. The 3 points, the two in front, your leg and your buttock. You must learn to balance. If it's the buttock too painful, you lean forward a bit. If it's the leg too painful, you lean backward a bit. Okay? Try to keep a straight spine, because when you meditate, when your meditation progress, there is a channel behind your spinal cord where the chi can move. So if your spine is straight, it will not block it. Then you close your eye, relax your body and mind. Then you maintain attention or awareness of your forehead. Feel your forehead, feel. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silently relax, relax and relax it. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you maintain attention at your eye muscle. You move your awareness or your mindfulness down. Feel your eye muscle. If there is any tightness or any tension or any stress within, you continue to relax. Feel your ciliary muscle or your eye muscle soothingly relax every part of it, every strand of it. Then after that, you relax your facial muscle. You move your attention to feel your facial muscle. Any part not relaxed, you relax. Then you try to radiate a radiant smile. Because if you can smile, you are more relaxed. A person who can smile, there is joy. When you have joy, you are relaxed. You are no longer tense up or emotional. So learn to radiate a radiant smile. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Then I will teach you loving kindness, how to radiate well-being and happiness and love to yourself. After you have this visualization of yourself smiling or radiating a radiant smile in the mirror, you recite love. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within you. May there be love, may there be joy. Feel it. Whenever you express the word, may my body and mind be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Every cell of it. Feel it engulfed with love, engulfed with well-being and happiness within. Make sure your mind is calm and peaceful. Relax more and more, more and more, more and more. Then you can move on. May my body and mind too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace. Then after that, you can also radiate what they call freedom from suffering. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Then after that, you can recall to mind somebody you love, very, very close loved one, or somebody you love very dearly. You can recite the same, radiate from your heart. May my loved ones too be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart and radiate. Radiate to them. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy throughout. Then you can also radiate, may this body and mind of theirs too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel the physical and mental suffering, not there, free from it all, mentally and physically free from all suffering. Then you can radiate to all beings throughout the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all the Dhamma friends. May all beings throughout the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all Dhamma friends, may they all too be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Feel the well-being, the calmness and the peace within. May there be peace, may there be joy, and may there be calmness throughout. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. After you have done this, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can return to your facial muscle. Now you try to relax the facial muscle. You will find it a lot easier. Then you can move your attention down to your shoulder, your hand back to shoulder. Then you move it to your heart. This is where your heartbeat is, your life force is, your seat of consciousness, they are all there. So if you can feel any vibration or the heartbeat, stay there, silent your mind. If you can't, you just relax, relax and relax, every part of it. Then after that, you move your attention down to your stomach, feel it and relax. Then you move it to your stomach, feel it and relax. Then you check your buttock, relax, your leg, relax. Then you can reverse the whole cycle, from your leg back to your buttock, back to your
abdomen, stomach, heart area, hand, shoulder, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, eye muscle, and your forehead. Then after that, you can relax your body and mind and just maintain silent awareness in front of your nostril. Now I will teach you how to do the meditation to train your mind so that it can be mindful of the in and out breath. The Buddha called it Anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just like how you feel your forehead. Now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention or awareness in front of your nostril. Whenever you detect the breathing going in and out, breathe naturally. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. For those who are new, it is not easy because the moment you are aware of the in and out breath, thought will come and distract you. And you will wander off. But be patient. Every time the mind wander off, bring it back to be aware of the breathing. Learn how to train yourself in this manner for as long as you need, until your mind is trained. Because the untrained mind thinks a lot, very heedless, so very difficult to develop the meditation. But if you have done it before, if you have trained your mind, if you have your past affinity, your mind will calm down very fast. Then when you are able to maintain the awareness of the in and out breath, anapanasati, the mindfulness of this in and out breath, you will become very calm and very peaceful. Then it will arise a type of spiritual joy, which they call piti. When you can feel it, you will be very, very calm, very peaceful, and very happy. Then continue to train your mind. Okay, I will let you do the training of your mind to develop this meditation. I will ring the bell maybe in another 20 minutes time. Then after that, we can continue. Okay, I will off the light for you. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, calmness, or awareness that you have developed. The mind that is trained is different. The mind that is trained is very peaceful, calm, relaxed, and aware within. It listens to you. You can decide how to use the mind. You want it to be peaceful, it's peaceful. You want it to be calm, it will just become calm. Then you want to just be aware of whatever you want, it will do just that. Means the trained mind listens to you. The trained mind has this inner awareness, clarity within, and is always peaceful and calm. As opposed to an untrained mind. The Buddha said, the untrained mind is very heedless, it thinks a lot. And they even say the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. You know what is a devil or not? A devil is a very evil being. That's why the word devil comes from the word evil. E-V-I-L. You add a D in front, it becomes a devil. A person who has a lot of evil, you normally call him a devil. So if the devil take over your mind and make it a devil's workshop, then you have big problem. That's why a heedless mind, the untrained mind, has a lot of problem. Whereas the trained mind is peaceful and calm, it listens to you, is fully aware within. So meditation is very simple. First, train your mind to be heedful, to be aware within. That's why the quality of mind that is peaceful, relaxed and aware within, the calm state of mind, has the quality of a meditative mind. Then when you use this trained mind to cultivate the meditation, to develop the Noble Eightfold Path, to be constantly aware, to cultivate the Buddha Dharma or the wisdom. The Buddha called it apamada or heedfulness. If you have that quality of mind, then you are destined for enlightenment. That's why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Dhammapada verse 21. Whereas the heedless are as if dead. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. So this explains clearly the importance of training this mind to be heedful. Otherwise the Buddha says you are as if dead. Spiritually dead. Nobody can help you. Then if you want to have the happy life, the peaceful life, the good life, you have to train this mind, you must have heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 also, the complementary verse about the mind, explain to you very clearly. If you choose to be heedless, neglect your life, do not train your mind, then when you act, speak and think with a heedless mind, with an evil mind, he said, the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion will arise. Such a mind, such a being, he said, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hood. So your life, you decide, you make the appropriate choice. If you choose to have suffering, then continue to be heedless. No need to train your mind. But if you want to change your life, you want to have more joy, more happiness, more meaning to your life, then the Buddha's advice is, you avoid all evil, do good, and you train your mind, purify your mind. So to train the mind, the Buddha said, you develop heedfulness, then use it to meditate. Such a being is it, if you act, speak and think with a wholesome mind, with a heedful mind, the mind will be free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Such a mind is a pure mind, is it? When you have this pure mind, wholesome mind, happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. This is Dhammapada verse 2. The Buddha is very clear about the Dhamma. So your life, you decide how you want to live. Okay, now we still got about almost an hour. I will open it up for maybe Q&A session, question and answer. You can ask me any question or report your meditation, then I will guide you along. Anything that you want to know about the meditation, the Buddha's teaching, and how you can apply the Buddha Dharma and what you have learned here to help you understand life, to help you overcome all of your life problems and life situations so that suffering need not be. Okay? So make full use of this. Can somebody on the light? Okay, so today, who wants to report? Or ask any question? You better ask. You better make use of this session, otherwise I cannot talk. Anybody wants to report? Yes, yes, Sister Lee, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. So what is it that you are doing based on your understanding? Why do you do all these things? That's why we need to go into it. So that you understand why you do. I want to have an understanding so that you understand what you do. Can you tell me why do you do that? Of course, the obvious reason is you say there is pain, unbearable. Then you try something else, okay? Do like chanting, okay? Then the pain disappear. Then another place come about. This is a very good question. But this is something really happened. Understand? So you have to understand. That's why I say the investigative part is very important. Whatever that you go through during meditation, you can learn from it. Understand? And you have the wisdom, you will know what to do. Otherwise, you will be just trying your luck. Understand? Try this, try that. Like that day, the other girl say, visualize the blue sky, our sister. I mean, you can try. You can apply whatever skillful means. But finally, what is it that you are searching? What is it that you are trying to develop? That inquiry is more important. So that it will keep you focused back as to what is your purpose when you come here to train your mind to develop the meditation. What are we here for? We slowly go in. What are we here for? After I have explained so many times, what are we here for? That's why I tell you last time, do not come here to just follow instruction and do without understanding. I want you to develop the understanding. So which means what? You don't just take instruction and do without understanding. So basically, what is it that we are doing here? I have already explained many times that. What is it? There are two things only in meditation. First is to train the mind, isn't it? Always remember, you are here to train the mind. Unless your mind already trained, then no need to do all those things. Mind sipping method, breathing, anapana, all no need. Like swimming. Understand or not? Why do you hold on to a float? Because you don't believe you can float. Understand now? That's why you worry, you will sink. That's why you hold on to a float. And what is the float for? To assist you to float, isn't it? So what is a meditation object for? To assist you to become peaceful, calm. Or to anchor your mind. Or just like swimming, to assist you to float. means assist you to meditate, understand or not? So when you know the purpose is that, initially use it, but once you understand that this is just a skillful mean, drop it, understand or not? Then do the actual swimming, find out yourself, that you will not be like other people. Other people will say, hey, you hold the float like that. Huh? You hold this type of float better. The one you can wear one like the jeweler. You go and believe all these type of things. These are all skillful means, understand not? So now what we want to develop is our understanding. Why do we do all this? Why do we try this and try that? What are we trying to achieve? If you are not careful, the hindrance of mind take over. You know what is happening? Because you label the thing as pain, understand not? Then you have this thought that tell you unbearable. What do you do? You're supposed to be aware there is a hindrance of mind, understand not? There's aversion towards that sensation. And you don't want to find out why it's like that. You straight away want to try something else, like a child, understand not? This one doesn't interest me anymore, I try another one. Understand not? You're supposed to identify there is a hindrance of mind. So if I identify it's a hindrance of mind, that's why I'm not peaceful, understand not? Then we come back to the focus. I'm here to train the mind. I am not peaceful because I went wrong here, understand not? I didn't accept the reality of this form. I didn't accept the reality of this sensation. Body is still a body, correct or not? If I don't know how to relax, I don't know how to be aware. If I don't train my mind to be ever mindful, relaxed, peaceful, pain will arise, understand or not? Because I have yet to break through pain, understand or not? So this is something natural because I have yet to train. So now I understand, I accept this reality means what? You accept things as it is. Let things be. Means I don't become angry or develop this ill will towards this pain. I don't have any more fear towards this pain. I don't try to move, understand? I don't try to use another skill for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be improving. I will continue to try. Then when this one doesn't work, I will try another one, like good food. Last time you haven't eat before, now, oh, this one very good, you try. After a while, no more good, you try another one. You keep on looking for new way to overcome what you don't like. So the mind keep on craving after good state, reject negative state. And this is very common for all meditators. That's why they are trapped. To develop the wisdom, very easy. You remain focused. I'm here to train the mind. So very simple. How can I train the mind? As long as there is no hindrance, the spiritual faculty are there, my mind will be trained. Okay? Hindrance is I label it as pain. I have aversion. I have ill will. Okay? This you must identify through your mindfulness and awareness and your understanding. Then straight away, you let things be. You don't fight, you don't react, you don't get disturbed. You tell yourself, it's normal. If I am not relaxed, if I have not trained my mind, if I am not able to be mindful, pain will come. Because inability to relax, the chi cannot flow, understand? That's how you will develop into sensation that become pain, then sometimes numbness. So the key thing is to relax. That one you ask Andy, he very good, because he broke through before last time. Then he said, after he relaxed, the mind settled down. You know why? Because you have faith, sada, understand that, the spiritual faculty. No more doubt. If you don't have faith, you continue to arise the doubt, thinking that you have done wrongly, you want to try something else, then that doubt will create more hindrance. That's why you have this understanding, relax. You try, understand not? Then when you are relaxed, your mind with the sada, it will develop into sati, mindfulness. When you are relaxed, the chi will flow. Your mind do not react, the hindrance disappear. then the spiritual faculty can come in, then mindfulness can come in. Otherwise, the hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm and mindfulness and awareness. So that's why this hindrance is very powerful. And a lot of meditators is trapped. That's why they don't know what to do. They don't understand the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha's teaching of the four foundations of mindfulness is very clear. That's why first you must train your mind in Kaya Nupassana. Kaya Nupassana is mindfulness of the form. That one I did last Thursday, Sui An's place. You go and listen to that tape. I described it in very detail last Thursday. The Kaya Nupassana got six categories of practices, starting with Anapanasati to train the mind. Then after that, you're supposed to develop the mindfulness of the four postures throughout the day. Then after that, extend it to the third category of practice. Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present. If you don't do this, the initial wisdom cannot come, the mindfulness cannot come. You cannot break free. Then you cannot proceed. It's only after you have done the daily mindfulness, the four postures and the sati sambhajana, clear comprehension, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. Like the Buddha said, standing, you are aware. Bending, stretching, turning, you are aware. Walking, you are aware. Whatever you do, answering nature's call, looking forward, turning, wearing the monk's robe, taking a bath, whatever you do, you must maintain mindfulness throughout the day. Like Xu Yin, you remember? Fully aware throughout the day. If you cannot do that, the meditation is not going to progress. You will not be able to see the three characteristics of nature, the impermanent characteristic, anicchang, the suffering characteristic of dukkang, and the anatta or empty nature or non-self nature characteristic of anatta and emptiness. When you cannot see these three, delusion will be there. You cannot break free. You will grasp and cling to this fine aggregate of form and mind. You were gullibly conditioned by the five hindrances of mind to react and become very reactive. This is how the meditation cannot progress. Then the Buddha said, after you have developed the initial wisdom, then only you can contemplate the next category of practice. The four elements within this kaya. You reflect, you contemplate the four elements. This body of mind is only element, no awareness. The four basic elements that transform itself. The wind element, the heat element, the water element, and the earth element. They stand for solidity, earth element. Wind element is all the liquid, the fluid, like your urine, your blood, your sweat, your pulse, and all those things. Then you got the wind element, like your breath, your vibration, your heartbeat, everything. The pulse of life, everything that vibrates is the wind element. That's how you maintain your body posture. Then you have the heat element, the temperature inside, to maintain the appropriate temperature for your organ, for your brain, everything to survive appropriately. So these are the four elements that you will see very clearly. No consciousness. That's why the form is not me. But you need to have the initial wisdom born of mindfulness to see. Then you move on further to break this body into the 32 parts, like the bulokat. When you take them apart, there are parts that come together. That's why it's condition arising. When the parts are not together, any of the part is gone, you are gone. So the 32 part is like the bulokat, the Buddha say, take it apart, no more bulokat. Assemble it back, the bulokat is there. So the concept of a bulokat is a word created by thought. When the condition come together, when it perform a function, you give it a name, bulokat, anasana. That's why it's condition arising. It's not a real human being. It's like the bulokat. It was never there. But when the parts come together, it perform a function, you call it a buloka, like this human being. When the consciousness come in, when the form is activated through the senses and the parasympathetic nerve, and also through all this, what they call spinal cord and all those things, then this one animate into a human being, perform a function of a human being. Then you call it a human being, understand or not? Like the buloka, it was never there, understand or not? That's why it's all condition arising, cause of the... Then when you see this very clearly, you are no longer deluded. Then the Buddha knew, after you have this understanding, you can still be tempted by the beautiful form, understand or not? You can still be gullibly attracted by it. That's why he said the last cultivation of Kaya Nupassana is, you contemplate the 9 stages of contemplation of the dead body. When it's devoid of consciousness, how he go the way of nature. When you see how this body decay, bloat up, become so ugly, so foul, so smelly, then finally how it return the elements. Finally it become dust, dust to dust. Then you have this clarity of mind, no more delusion. No matter how pretty, how beautiful, how handsome that form is, when it's devoid of consciousness, it's like that. Why do you so deludedly grasp and cling? Understand not? It's just momentary. That's why your loved one, when you are in the condition to be youthful, to be pretty and all those things, understand that they are condition arising. While you have that, use it to help people to live. You can develop the relationship also, no problem. But don't attach, grasp and cling and complain later on. Oh, last time my loved one used to be so pretty, so sweet and so on. Now become like that. There is attachment, understand? You compare, understand? Not understanding that the reality of this form is it go the way of nature. It's of the nature to decay, get sick and die, and finally disappear. That's why the Buddha say every day contemplate the 5 daily reflection. This body of mine is of the nature to grow old, to get sick and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. All of my loved ones and my prized possession, they are of the nature to separate from me. Either way, it gets separated. When my breath stops, everything ceases to be. I don't own anything. Before my breath stops, if the condition is such, they will separate from me. That's why separation from loved ones and prized possession is a reality of life and existence. Then the last contemplation, the Buddha said, we have to always contemplate every day. Each and every one of us, we are born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. This is to constantly remind you of the importance of karma. If you don't take care of karma because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, you are what you are because of it, then you will suffer. Because if you choose to be heedless, karmically you fall, you become very weak. That's how the living beings suffer. But if you have reflected every day and wake up to this reality, then you will be very careful with karma. Then you will determine to take care of karma. How do you take care of karma? How do you take care of karma? You follow the advice of the Buddha, is that avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. How do you do it? How to avoid all evil? You take the precept, is that? That's why you renew your 5 precepts. Then you train your mind to develop the mindfulness, is that? The heedfulness, yeah, to see your mental intention, so that whatever you do it without the evil roots, so that you won't violate the karma. All your actions, speech and thought process and livelihood are in accordance with the Noble Eightfold Path. That's how the teaching come. Then when you have that right view with regards to law of karma, that's how you are able to train your mind, keep the precept, follow the advice of the Buddha and cultivate. that happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. Dhammapada verse 2. So this is all the teaching. When you understand this, then you move, understand not? Then kaya nupasana can make you enlightened too. First stage of sainthood at least. Then after you have three, you move on to the second category of practice, which is vedana nupasana. The Buddha say after that, you can train your mind to be mindful of your feeling. This is where sisterly question come in. This is where you all have to move. Because last time there is no condition, you all don't ask question, I cannot teach this. You need to have somebody in that condition because she tried very hard. She has a past. It's a matter of time she break through this. That's why you must ask me question that I can share with you. When you come to Vedana Nupassana, the Buddha said, mindfulness of the feeling. When feeling comes to be, every moment of sense or consciousness upon contact feeling arise. That is the dependent origination. You can check in your meditation. So when feeling arise, what do you do? What do you do? Because you cross your leg, isn't it? There is contact, isn't it? That's why there is tactile consciousness, isn't it? Feeling come to be, isn't it? Yeah? If it's pleasant feeling, you must be aware, understand not? If unpleasant feeling, you must be aware, understand not? If it's neither pleasant or unpleasant due to delusion or indifference, you must be aware. So in this case, the feeling, why do you label it as unpleasant, pain, unbearable? Means you are not aware of feeling, understand not? Feeling has been conditioned into ego root, hindrance. That's why your purpose is to be aware. When there is pleasant and unpleasant feeling, you must be aware. When you are aware, you are aware of the hindrance. You are aware of the evil root. And when the evil root and the hindrance are there, what must you do? You must arise the right effort to abandon them, understand not? But not through doing another thing, understand not? Abandon them means the wrong thought, understand not? But this one is not a thought, understand not? In a way, it's not really a thought, understand not? It's through delusion, understand not? Of course, the delusion conditioned the wrong thought, you can say that. But it's not really a thought where you have to abandon, understand not? You have to develop the wisdom to look at it. Like the Buddha said, feeling is a feeling if I do not react, understand not? If I have the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, like what I explained. If you let things be and do not react, there is no hindrance. That's why that wisdom free you, understand not? But if there is no wisdom, it carry on. Dependent origination. Upon contact, feeling arise. Dependent on feeling, grasping come to be, understand not? Grasping is your craving. Craving come to be. Then craving become grasping, understand not? So craving is your like and dislike, your sensual desire and ill will. So these two oscillate very fast. So when you are aware, the awareness of it free you, understand? That's why you must train your mind to be heedful and aware. And when you are heedful and aware, you know what to do. You know how to overcome it. So you have to investigate, why am I this way? Why is there pain? Why is it become unbearable? Yeah. It's because you have yet to develop the understanding of how to relax your body and mind and how to allow sati or mindfulness to be full within you. How to allow this sati to replace the hindrance of mind. Sati is one of the mental faculty. When the mental faculty is there, the hindrance of mind disappear. Yeah. So to do that, you can investigate and try and find out. So what she has done is one of the skillful means. There is no such thing as can or cannot. It's up to you. When you are at this stage, you do this. So like she said, yeah? When there is this pain become unbearable, what she do is she use chanting, understand not? So chanting is one of the way, but it's not one of the best way, because the Buddha actually recommend 5 ways to overcome all this hindrance of unwholesome thought. I will describe, I will write on the board. You better make a note of this. This one, for those who have been with me, I think they have heard it before. The Buddha said, there are 5 ways where you can overcome all this negative thought or hindrance. First one is to think of the direct opposite. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Wholesome thought. Okay. So this one, when you have anger, what other thought you supposed to arise? Let's say you got anger. What type of thought to counter anger? You must arise metta, isn't it? Loving kindness, isn't it? Correct or not? Let's say you have this what tendency to be very cruel. What type of opposite thought must you cultivate? Compassion, isn't it? A compassionate person will never be cruel, isn't it? So when you have this fear, that negative thought of fear, what must you cultivate? When there is fear, you must cultivate faith, isn't it? Saddha, isn't it? So that you calm yourself down, so that there is no more fear there. Correct or not? Yeah. So this is one of the skillful means, understand or not? Think of the direct opposite. That's why when you have a lot of this evil root, or what they call negative tendency, then you cultivate the direct opposite. So for Sister Lee, there is this what they call not really a negative thought. It's a what they said, an aversion, understand not? An ill will towards that feeling, understand not? It's not an evil thought, understand not? It's not an unwholesome thought, understand not? But it is a dislike over that sensation, understand not? That's why they use the skillful means, like chanting, to keep the calm mind, to bring about the calmness, to bring about the faith, understand not? So this is one of the way you bring about the spiritual faculty of saddha and sati and samadhi. So when you can mindfully chant, mindfulness, faith, and samadhi come in, the 3 important spiritual faculties sets in. That's why the pain can disappear, understand? But then she didn't do it until very stable. That's why it appeared at another location, understand? Yeah. So when it happened, you again have to tell yourself what is going on. That's why you have to investigate. Then you try to find out which is suitable, what is appropriate. There are different times you do different things. Okay, what is the second one? What is the second one? The second way to overcome unwholesome thought. The Buddha said, think of the consequence. Of holding on to this unwholesome thought. Okay. The Buddha said, you have to tell yourself, is it? If you cannot develop any improvement through thinking of the opposite wholesome thought, Then reflect on the second solution. Think of the consequence of holding on to this unwholesome thought. If you allow this evil root of anger to continue in your heart, what will happen to you? Yeah? It will condition you into more emotional anger, isn't it? Then it will make you violent, isn't it? When you become violent, what happens? The evil root has become violent. What happens? Then it becomes action, understand? It translates into action. That's why they call it transgression. When you are angry, you are not so violent yet. Understand? When the anger becomes very, very strong, then you become violent. Understand? The moment you become violent, you have the tendency to harm and to hurt. Then you break your precept. Understand? That's why it's an evil root. So when you think of the consequence, is this what you want? Your karma. It is going to create more negative karma. More suffering, not only to you, to your loved ones, to people whom you have relationship with. That's why in your house, in your office, in your daily life, never to arise the evil roots of anger. It's an evil root. It makes you into an evil person. You become a monster, understand? Very evil. That's why evil roots are very evil. This one will allow you to develop the understanding not to allow it to arise again. Then you become determined. Then you want to overcome it. Then you move on. What is the third one? Third one is meditation, the Buddha said. The Buddha said, don't do anything. Just relax and let things be. That's why this is a very powerful meditation. When you are doing your meditation, you're not supposed to do anything. The original state of mind is already the meditative state, like swimming. Understand not? You know what is swimming or not? The natural state of your body is buoyancy. Understand not? Relax, let go, you will float. Understand not? Your mind is the same. The natural state is already the meditative state. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to note this, note that, do this and do that. Just silence your mind, relax and let things be. When your mind don't stir, you are in the natural state. But human beings cannot do this because they don't understand. They think meditation is must do something. You know why you do something? You think there must be a meditator to meditate. To note this and to note that. To do this and to do that. That's where the meditation never comes through. Understand? Who is the meditator? The thought is the meditator. You, through your thought, want to meditate. Want to become peaceful. Don't want to have pain. Means what? You push away the negative sensation. You want the good sensation. That's why they change technique. Understand? They try this, they try that. Who is trying? The thought is trying. That's why you can never break free. Thought-based meditation has this problem. Form-based meditation has this problem. You cling to method, cling to technique, cling to the form, cling to what people do. You don't want to investigate. You don't want to find out. Like this one, the Buddha said, if there is anger, next time you try. When you are very angry, very agitated, you try. You reflect on this. Don't try this anymore. Because this one you have tried many times already. After some time, it doesn't work on this one. This one, you try. When you know the danger, then you will move to this. When you have anger, you just silence your mind. Don't do anything. Just aware. You find out what happened. The agitated mind that has a lot of anger and emotion. If you don't feed it with any more mental energy, what happens? When you just silence your mind and relax, and let it calm down. The emotion, the anger, will slow down on its own. The energy of anger and emotion will dissipate by itself. That's why Krishnamurti is very good. He said the very flowering of that emotion or that thought, the content of that thought, is the very ending of that thought. If you don't do anything, it will come back to its natural state of peace and calm. When you realize that, that is the beginning of wisdom. That is the meditation. Then you realize, just like when you let go everything and you float. Of course, the initial tendency is you panic. Why? When you let go, you drop down. Understand? It never float immediately. You sink down first. Because the buoyancy is not reached yet. The law of flotation, the uplift, it takes a while for the uplift to come about. Understand? That's why the moment you sink, you panic. You struggle. That's why you can never realize the natural state of buoyancy. But if you have faith, you allow the body to go down, then you realize it finally floats. That moment when you realize that the natural state is buoyancy, just let go. The natural state of body is buoyancy, you will float. There is a lot of joy. Then to swim is so easy that, what do? You just move your hand in there, then you move. Meditation is the same. When you know the natural state of mind is already the meditative state, you just silent and aware, you are meditating already. You are already moving. But you don't understand this. You try to do so many funny things with your mind. That's why you got trapped. You go and focus, you go and concentrate, you go and develop all the so-called thought-based concentration. And you think that is very, very powerful. You go and do all those things. Then you hurt yourself, you harm yourself, sometimes unknowingly. That's why you must have good teacher who understand to share with you and to teach you. This one can understand? This one is not easy, I tell you. You need to try it, you need to go through it. So this third one is very useful, but this one will only give you some form of wisdom. Not the full one yet. The full one is the fourth one. What is the fourth one? What did the Buddha say? Trace the origination factor. And retrospectively, reverse it. This is Dhammanupassana. This one the Buddha teach under the four factor. Dhammanupassana. You heard of Dhammanupassana or not? The six internal and six external sense bases. Mindfulness of that. He said trace the origination factor. Means you trace how does this negative thought or wrong thought come to be. Oh, sorry. I have exceeded 20 minutes. I finished this one. Okay? Sorry. I take extra your time. Anybody urgent need to go? Nobody. You need to go, you go. You see, this one, you have to trace the origination factor. How does it come about? It's always your sixth sense door, nothing else. The Buddha said, either from your tactile consciousness, for Miss Lee's case is pain, tactile consciousness, the sensation. Other people is always what you see, the seeing consciousness. Because before you feel, before you meditate, there is no condition, you are peaceful, isn't it? But how come when you meditate after some time, when the tactile consciousness become something that you don't like, you react to it and call it pain, then this unwholesome thought comes to be. Understand or not? The hindrance come to be. So the origination factor is through the tactile consciousness. Understand or not? Or seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness. When you hear somebody say something, you get angry. Understand or not? Or you see something you don't like, remind you of something, you get emotional and angry. Or sometimes when you recall anything. So your senses, the sense door, you will trace them, the Buddha said. So the origination factor is always from one of your sense door. Then when you know how it come, you know how to reverse it, isn't it? How do you reverse it? You have to reflect and contemplate on it. How come it conditioned me to react and call it pain? Or how come the seeing consciousness conditioned me to become angry, violent, selfish, lustful? How? Why? That's why when you reflect and contemplate, the second turning, wisdom will come, Chintamaya Panya. Then you tell yourself, if because of Sakkaya Ditti, I cling onto the five aggregate, understand not? I think I am real. I develop selfishness. I develop lustfulness. I become angry because I cannot get what I want. I want things my way. I got my views and my opinion. So when you trace it back, because you have this like and dislike, you still have delusion and ignorance. You don't have equanimity. You don't have wisdom. That's why you don't know how to let things be and see things as they are. You reacted, understand not? And that is the reason why you are not peaceful. So in order to overcome all this, once you understand how it originates, the next time when you see something, hear something, or think of something, or feel something tactilely, do not be deluded. Understand? That's how you reverse it. Means I don't have to get angry. I don't have to develop the aversion and the unhappiness over what happened. Thing is just the way it is. Understand? And if I let things be, it will disappear. Well, my original state of mind, if I don't stir, it is already the meditative state, the calm and peaceful state. I need to relax and endure, develop the spiritual faculty. Of course, you can try chanting or whatever, but finally, you have to drop the skillful mind, understand? The float, you have to remove it so that your mind is in a natural state of sati, mindfulness. Understand? Then you don't have to do anything. That's why when the mind is trained, no need to do anything. The spiritual faculty is there. You want it to be peaceful, it's peaceful. You want it to be aware, it's aware. You want it to develop the faith, it will develop the faith. It listens to you. So this is how you free your mind. Yeah. The last one is the Buddha say, if all these four cannot help you, then you have to use your determination, your own will, strong, will it strongly. He said, with your tongue against your palate, tongue against your palate, determined to abandon the wrong thought. Because he cannot help you anymore. All the spiritual understanding and way he already teach you, and you also still cannot free, you have to fight yourself, he said. Determined through your own determination. That's why he said, with your teeth clenched, sorry, I missed out that one. Your teeth clenched, your tongue against your palate, you determine. You determine. Means you're very serious, understand? To abandon that wrong thought. So I think we can end. Sorry, I took about 20 minutes extra. Because the question is very relevant and very appropriate. So I have to use some of your time. Okay, we will do the usual closing puja, sharing of merits and transfer of merits.
I forget. Next Sunday there is no class. Cicely? Yeah. The class is cancelled because they are going to Penang. I think it's your master Boyan's anniversary or what. But the following Sunday, bring this book. Those who don't have, you let me know. I will bring some more. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is very important. I have to go through this one to teach you the three turning of the Four Noble Truths.
what is meditation and all those things. Otherwise, you cannot follow. Otherwise, very difficult for you to develop the understanding. What I have teach you and share with you, I think most of them are inside here. You have to bring this along. Okay? We will now do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, then we end. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhamata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakhantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share this merits that we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tina hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy. Invoke the blessing for our country. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca pito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich harvest. May the world be more peaceful and prosperous. May the government and ruler of the day be righteous. Then the last one, you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawat nivana patia. By the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully.